Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 49th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
I'm so glad I'm on my way to heaven and the kids can look at least us as an examples of them to follow, and our children are a blessing from God. And Jacob realized that in verse number 5 when he said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." In other words, I didn't deserve it. He graciously gave to thy servant. I love that verse. And then we see in verse number 6 and 7. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves, and Leah also with her children came near, remember in the order in which they were lined up. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves one by one. Each of the wives and children came up to be introduced to their uncle and to their brother-in-law, depending on which they were on. And as I was reading it, I'm thinking, man, that had to take a little while. I want you to meet, hey, Uncle, you know, Esau, I'm so-and-so, you know. That'd take a little while. He had a large family. So we see they introduce themselves in verses 6 through 7. Now verse 8 through 11. And he said, again, speaking of Esau speaking, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" In other words, the drove. That drove means that host. Remember, he had a host of cattle, of sheep. He was a very wealthy man. Speaking of Jacob, he brought all of that from Laban when he was there 20 years. He worked hard and God blessed him. So he came from Laban's home, very, very, very wealthy man. And Esau saw this grove. He said, "What is this that I met?" And Jacob answers, he replies, and he said, "They are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." In other words, again, he's calling Esau. He not only bowed to him seven times as for honor and respect, again, he says, "You're my Lord." Again, that sign of respect, even though he was his older brother by maybe just a minute or two. Remember, he came out holding his heel. Okay. Well, Jacob, let me finish to go verse number 11. And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother." Because Esau was also a very wealthy man. "I have enough. Keep that which thou hast unto thyself." Keep it, keep it. And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, now if I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, that therefore I have seen thy face as though I've seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he, speaking of Esau, took it. At first, Esau refused, because "I am a wealthy man, I got it." He used the word, "I have enough." It's interesting in the word studies, the word "enough" here literally means that I have much. I'm wealthy, I don't need your gifts. Well, but Jacob insisted. He said, "Take it, take it." And then notice in verse number 11, in English it says, "because I have enough." But note, this isn't a Hebrew class, but in the Hebrew language, those are two different words. And when it says verse number 9, "I have enough," I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word in Hebrew. But what it means is, "I have much. I'm wealthy. I have enough." I mean, okay. But in verse number 11, when he says, "I have enough," that's a different Hebrew word. That literally means not that I have much. He said, "I have everything." Let that one sink in. It's not that I have much. It's pretty good when you have much. It's even better when you have everything. Everything I need to make me happy. Remember that song of yesteryear? "Everything I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way." That's about all I remember that song. "He has made me and he gave me life eternal. And now I have everything." That's what that word means in Hebrew. I have everything. Let me ask you a question. Do you have everything? or do you just have much? There's a huge difference. From Esau's side, it was a physical thing, a carnal side. Are you following? From Jacob's side, it was a spiritual thing. I have enough. Man, I'm wealthy. Jacob said, I have enough. I have God. That's a powerful statement. It was important for reconciliation. It was not a payoff. It wasn't a bribe or anything. But he said a couple times, it's a present. I want to give it to you. I'm not bribing you to try to win you over back. But it's a gift. And it was important because when Jacob gave such generous gifts, it was his way of saying to Esau, I'm sorry. When Esau accepted the gifts, it was Esau's way of saying, all is forgiven. Because at that culture, at that time, no one ever accepted a gift from an enemy, only from a friend. So when Esau accepted that gift from Jacob, it was a sign to Jacob, you're not an enemy, you're now my friend. And to accept the gift was to accept friendship. So what a great picture we have of them coming together. Now, before we go any farther, yesterday, had a big day yesterday, but I came home yesterday evening and settled in and kind of looked at her Sunday school lesson, and it just thought came into my mind about Esau and how he wept and he welcomed Jacob back. And obviously the Lord had done a work in his life to make him change. Well, the thought did come, well, what? Again, I'm jumping ahead, but I looked at this yesterday about Esau and wondering, well, did Esau ever trust the Lord? And I checked every place I could read about Esau. It never said anything about him ever trusting the Lord. And I rewound everything back to this passage. And even though his heart was full of love for his brother, he wept and he hugged and he kissed and he accepted him back. The Bible never says he got saved. And I'm thinking, man, how many family members we have, the brothers and sisters that now love us, that even reconciled us, but yet without Christ, they're still dying and going to hell. Well, this is where Esau was in verse number 11, the end of that verse, and he urged him, speaking of Jacob, and Esau took it. Now let's read verse 12 through 17. And he said, let us take our journey. And this is Esau speaking, okay? He's met Jacob. He got the gifts. He said, let us go back home. And he wanted to go to Isaac. So let's go home and see Dad. That's what he's talking about here when he said, let us take our journey. Let us go, and I'll go before thee. This is Esau telling Jacob, I'll go ahead of you. Verse number 13, Jacob is replying. He said unto him, my Lord, he calls him again, Lord, knoweth that my children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Remember, they've journeyed a long way. They've come a long way through the deserts and hundreds of miles with the children. And let me add, and the flocks and the herds, and what a drive that must have been. You think it's rough riding in the car with kids for 8 hours. Can you imagine for days and weeks of Jacob driving all these kids? And now, are we there yet? I don't think he did that. I can just imagine. Are we there yet? I'm just picking. But anyway, Esau said, let's go. And Jacob said, no, we got to go slow. You and your men just take off and we'll catch up with you. That's what he's doing here.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more great teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.